to welcome you to worship with Redeemer Lutheran Church. This morning, we will be having Holy Communion, so don't forget to have your elements of bread and wine ready for that portion of the service. We're also very, very thankful that Pastor Kathy Chartier is here to lead worship for us this morning. Pastor Gary is gone this morning because he gets the wonderful honor of attending his grandson's baptism. And so he and Nan will be traveling for that, and so we congratulate them and are thankful for this day. Also, Pastor Gary wanted me to remind you that he is starting a new live Zoom event on Wednesdays over lunch. It's called Something to Chew On, and there will be a specific topic, and so you can join Pastor Gary on Zoom to have that conversation. Also, I'd like to thank everyone that heeded the call for the blessing box. It was quite bare, and now it is quite plentiful. And so thank you very, very, very much. Please keep in mind that these are hard times for a lot of our neighbors, and so the blessing box is blessing a lot of people lately. And so we thank you for your continued support of that. Something exciting is coming up, so please mark your calendars for Tuesday, August 25th. From 5 to 6 p.m., we have three graduates that, because of coronavirus and having online worship, we haven't been able to really celebrate their milestone of high school graduation. So we are going to have a drive-by Quillo blessing. The Quillos are made, and I'll put pictures up so you can all see them. But we would invite the congregation to come drive through the parking lot to cheer on and celebrate all three of our graduates. And we're also inviting everyone to write a prayer or a blessing or a word of encouragement for each of our graduates. So that's Kenny and Zach and Meskram. So if you need more information on how to get that to us, let me know. I believe those are all of our announcements, so we'll continue with worship. And thank you, Kathy.
And thank you, Vicar Amanda, for preaching today. And I am so happy and blessed to be asked to serve in this way. It's an honor for me. So let us prepare for worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constant, that your name may be known throughout the earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So for our children's sermon today, I want to tell you about a commercial I once saw. There were all of these people, they were in an elevator together, and all of them were staring at their phones. Nobody was talking to each other. Nobody was looking at each other, except there was one lady in the middle, and she was looking around. And when the elevator got to the floor that they were on in their apartment building, Everybody went off down the hallway, and they went into their apartments, and they shut the door. And the lady just stood there for a moment and just looked down the empty hallway. She went into her apartment, and her daughter was there. And her daughter was staring at her phone. And the lady dropped some groceries loudly on the counter, and the daughter kind of shook awake and was looking at her then. And they decided that they were going to try something new. So they got a table, and they got their dinner that was almost ready. And they went out in the hallway and took their table and a tablecloth and their dinner and their chairs, and they sat in the hallway and ate dinner. Well, it wasn't very long before the elevator came up again, ding, and there were more people on the elevator. So I wonder what happened. What do you think happened when those people on the elevator saw this mom and daughter eating in the hallway? Oh, maybe they might have laughed at them. Oh, that's such a silly thing to do. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. They went and joined them for dinner. But before they could do that, they had to make a bigger table, because not everybody would fit at that table. And so they went to their apartment and got another table and a tablecloth, and they brought out the things that they were going to have for their dinner, and they all shared. And they got to talking, and it got kind of noisy in the hallway. So what do you think the neighbors did? You think the neighbors came out and were like, "Ugh, y'all are being so noisy, be quiet." It's not what the neighbors did. The neighbors saw these two families having dinner out in the hallway together, and while that's kind of strange, they joined in. But before they could join in, they had to make the table bigger. So they brought out their table into the hallway, and a tablecloth and chairs, and their dinner. And this kept going on and on and on, and it was such a beautiful commercial. I don't even know what it was advertising, but it was a commercial that showed us about community and how when there's more people that come, when there's more people that are excited about joining us, we make the table bigger because everybody's invited to the table. And that's what Jesus is all about, and that's what this table back behind us is all about. Everybody is welcome at that table. And today we're having communion at your table at your home. But everybody there is welcome to that table. Everybody listening on Facebook is welcome to join us in Holy Communion, welcome to join us at the table, because that's what Jesus is all about. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for tables. We thank you for people that are seated around the table. And we ask that when more people join us, or when we go out and invite people to come to the table, that we'll make it bigger so that everybody is welcome, so that everybody has a place at the table. And all God's children said, amen. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Technical difficulties getting around. Thanks for your patience. The first reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1, 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice, and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few years ago, I was walking through the mall. I saw the kiosk ahead of me, that kind that's in the middle of the walkways. Might have seen a similar one. They have hand scrubs and lotions and do demos on folks that they can reel in. And it's hard to pass by without the kiosk workers engaging you in conversation. But I was ready. I wasn't going to get caught by their persistence. I walked faster as the man's voice got a bit louder. "Ma'am, ma'am, let me show you." But whew, I got by that time. But I also had to pass by again to get out of the mall. And as I approached the second time, "Ma'am, ma'am, you passed by me the last time. Please, let me show you." I just wanted to get out of the mall. I had things to do. However, he caught me passing by him, not once, but twice. And that word, please, it got me. His persistence had paid off. I relented to hearing his spiel. In our scripture for today, we witness profound persistence. So much so that while we usually look at what Jesus is up to in our scripture, today I'm curious about what God may be doing through this very persistent woman. Who is this person? She's described as a Canaanite, and there's a long history about Jews and Canaanites. So here's the Cliff Notes version. According to the scripture of the Old Testament, a long, long time ago, in the days of Moses and Joshua, the Jewish people had claimed, rather violently, the Canaanites' land, the Promised Land. So here we have a Canaanite, an enemy of the Jewish people, one whose ancestors were oppressed by them. This Canaanite is approaching a Jewish teacher, pleading for help. A persistent Canaanite. We can continue to ask, who is she? There is the gender piece of this story as well. This Canaanite is a woman. And in that time and place, women did not speak to unrelated men in public. And here we have this woman approaching Jesus. But she's not just following or talking to Jesus. She is said to be shouting at him. And this could make a scene. This could draw attention. She intentionally, vocally persists in communicating with Jesus. This is bold. This is persistence. And the words that she used, it makes me wonder, what does she know? I'm curious about why this person, who is so far removed from the culture that Jesus was born into, calls him Lord and Son of David. What made a woman of a different religion and culture aware of the phrase Son of David? Had news of Jesus traveled out into the world beyond the Jews? This Gentile, a non-Jewish person, persists in her demand for Jesus' attention. She persists as Jesus ignores her. She persists as the disciples attempt to send her away. She persists as Jesus said he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. She persists as Jesus compares her state to one of a dog. Now, I don't know why Jesus reacted the way he did towards this woman. It seems uncharacteristic for Jesus. Scholars debate this scripture with various reasons that never seem to fully satisfy people's curiosity. It doesn't satisfy mine. But what I do know is this unnamed Canaanite woman publicly shouting at Jesus was not about to give up. She persisted. Through her persistence, there are multiple things overcome. She was a Gentile. Gentiles are anyone that's not Jewish. Then Jews considered Gentiles unclean and defiled. Yet, just before this story in our passage for today, Jesus declared the source of cleanliness and uncleanliness, their purity and holiness toward God, to be based out of a person's heart, not who they were, not what they touched, not what they ate. Her persistence overcame the idea of uncleanliness and impurity. There's also the persistence with the crumbs, the table, the children, and the dogs. Jesus states that the food, God's healing, forgiveness, mercy, and hope, is for the children, the Jews, the Israelites. The children's food should not be given to the dogs. God's favor intended first for the Israelites should not yet be given to the Gentiles. But the woman turns the table. She declares a sense of abundance. The crumbs still fall down to the dogs. There is enough on the master's table. Its abundance slides onto the floor. There's enough for all, for the children and the dogs, the Jews and the Gentiles, for everyone. This woman's persistence illustrates the abundance of God's love. In fact, it was just 2 weeks ago that we read in the previous chapter of Matthew's gospel about the abundance from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that fed over 5,000 people. There was enough for everyone. This Canaanite woman's persistence represents the same. There is enough food on the master's table for everyone. There is enough of God's grace, love, mercy for everyone. And through persistence, the woman's faith was acknowledged. Through her persistence, her daughter was healed. Through her persistence, she demonstrated God's abundance. As we read and ponder this account of Jesus and the Canaanite woman, how is God working through her to speak to us in our lives today? Where do we need to be persistent? Where do we need to speak about God's abundance? And the answer might be different for all of us. Are there spaces that need a persistent voice of God's love for all people, everywhere, no matter what? Maybe in our homes, among friends, at school, and our places of work, online. Are we called to be that voice of love? Are you called to be that voice of love? Does the hope that God offers need a persistent voice in the world? Maybe in the halls of our hospitals, in the waiting rooms of the therapist's office, at a peaceful protest, in line at the soup kitchen, in the waters of baptism. Are we called to be that voice of hope? Are you called to be that voice? Does a persistent voice need to proclaim God's abundance throughout the world? Maybe at a food drive, in support groups, at the communion rail, and at your table. Are we called to be that voice of abundance? Are you called to be that voice? Yes. The Canaanite woman was called to be that voice, and that is our call as followers of Christ, to be a persistent voice telling the world of God's love, God's hope, and God's abundance at every turn. And while it might be a bit scary to be that persistent voice, no one does it alone. We are voices in community, and the ever persistent God is always among us. The relentless Holy Spirit meets us in the world, in the waters of baptism, and in the bread and cup of communion. So, beloved children of God, go with courage to be a persistent voice of God's abundance. For God is persistent and abundant in God's love for you and for the world. Amen.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And now, with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Merciful God, you love us before we have any knowledge of what love is. You fully encompass all that is love. It is not possible to love us more than you already do, yet there is also nothing that can separate us from that love. Help us to remember that in your overflowing love for us, we are called to share that love with others. Guide us to look at each and every person we encounter as one that is also unconditionally loved by you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O great love, whom we call God, stir in our hearts the sense of community that you desire for all humanity. You show us what relationships look like through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Open our hearts to others so that all may find the safety, comfort, and peace that comes from dwelling among you and your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice, we look out into a world that you have created and called good. You provide for us in ways that we take for granted. Help us work to make those provisions available for all people. Let our hearts break with compassion for those in need. We lift up those in need and our personal prayers to you, those we have on our minds and in our hearts, as we lift up also from our lips. Pastor Mel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you bless us with the gift of faith. You call us to share that gift with others through our words and deeds. God, swirl among our congregation, both near and far. Fan the flames of hope in each heart. Help us to take each opportunity to live out your mission in the world. We thank you for living and loving in us and through us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O gracious God, we commend all whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Let us pray as our Lord taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face or have his face shine on you continually with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.